first perek in Maseches Chulin, the Gemara quotes a braisa that comments on the pasuk in the beginning of Chumash VaYikra that says, "Adam kiyakrit mikem korban laHashem in apema," etc., that a person can volunteer to bring a korban oila. So the Gemara comments, "Mikem v'loy kulchem." That not every, we don't accept the korban from anybody, any yid who wants to bring a korban. The Gemara has another pasuk that Nachrim can be Nodrim the Dovis, then Dorman the Dovis be Israel. Ishish, pasuk in the middle of Ayikra, to be marbed that if a Nachri wants to volunteer, Nachri cannot volunteer Achatas in a Osham, or Pesach is not Bob and Ezra and Dovah, Yisrael cannot volunteer it either. If you're not Mukhid, you can't bring it. But an Oilo and a Shlomim, whatever Yisrael can volunteer, then Nachri can also volunteer. It's actually how you makrib the Shlomim, so the Gemara has a whole discussion. What's the nature of the Hakrom? So despite the fact that you can accept karbonis from a nachri, the Gemara learns it from the pasuk Nikem v'loy kulchem v'hotiyas hamumah, that if you have a yid who's a mumah of Avodah Zarah and he wants to bring a korban to Beit HaMikdash l'shamayim, not Avodah Zarah, we don't accept it. So the Jew who's a mumah of Avodah Zarah is worse off than a nachri. The nachri is talking, the nachri is an oibed Avodah Zarah, but he wants to volunteer to bring a korban to the Beit HaMikdash l'shamayim, not to his Avodah Zarah. So the pasuk says you accept it. So the Jew who's a mumah l'avodah zarah is worse off. So that's what the Acharonim point out. We have a din that a mumer dina ka'akum. The Mishnah says in Chulin that if a nochri shechet the behemah shechitas and aveilah, the shechet has to be a yid. What if the shechet is a yid but is a mumah l'avodah zarah, or the shechet is a yid but is a mumah l'chal shabbos b'fer hesya? Or he doesn't do Avodah Zarah, he doesn't do Chil Shabbos at all, but he's a mumah l'roiv mitzvos haTorah that he's aware of. He violates the majority. He doesn't keep kosher, he doesn't say Yom Kippur. He violates the majority of the mitzvos that he's aware of. So we say mumah dina ka'akum. If he's only a mumah to one aveira, he's very common. He violates, he cheats all the time in business. So he's a mumah l'gneiza, let's say. That's not, we pass him, that's not dina ka'akum. Oh, he always eats treifas, but everything else he keeps. So just because he's a mumah to one din, mumah l'davarechot is not a mumah l'chalatar kuruz. Machleg is that hanayim, and chayrus and daflamer, we pass the mumah l'davarechot is nishkin mumah l'chalatar kuruz. But if he's a mumah either to Avodah Zarah, or to Chilul Shabbos b'cher hestia, or to roiv dini ha-tayra, so then we say ruba kukula to dino ka'akim. So if he shech the bayim, is chitas on the veil. So that's what the Acharonim point out. Truth of the matter is, where did we learn that out from? Where is the pasuk? The Gemara presented as if this is the pasuk. Mikem adam ki akrav mikem v'lo kulchem lahotzias hamumer, that you can't accept the carbon from the mumer because the mumer dina kakum. What do you mean mumer dina kakum? He's worse than an akum here. This is not telling me that mumer dina kakum. If a nachri yobed Avodah Zarah comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he volunteers an oil shlamim l'shamayim, we do accept it. And the mumer, you don't accept it as in constant a different din. It's not because mumer dina kakum. So this leads many acharonim to say the shach. And Simon Beis, in the Yeriday, where they talk about the Shechitas Nochmer, Shechitas Mumer, and Shechitas Nochal Shamas. So the Shach quotes the Bach and has a whole discussion about it. Maybe this whole din, that the Mumer, Dina Ka'akum, maybe the whole din is only with the Rabbanim, because this pasuk doesn't really demonstrate it. This pasuk, Ni Kemelo Kulchum, Lotir Samumer, doesn't really bring out this point that Mumer, Dina Ka'akum. So the Shaila is, what do you mean? This is only a din de rabbanon. We usually have a cloud that came upon it very often, called the tikkun rabbanon, came the rice and tikkun. Whenever there's a takana de rabbanon, all the dinim de rabbanon are usually patterned after dinim de rice, along the lines of dinim de rice. Because all the dinim de rabbanon become a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh, minatorah, possibly. So if it's going to blend in to be part of the Torah Shebal Peh, it has to fit in with, it has to be along the same lines as the dinim de rice. And every so often you'll have a Gemara where the Gemara will prove a din deraisa by quoting a din derabbanan. The fact that the Chachamim made such a takana derabbanan is a hechacha that it must have been that before they made the takana derabbanan must have been such a din deraisa. Otherwise, this din derabbanan wouldn't make any sense. So what is the kain deraisa tikkun over here? If you're going to say that a mumah dina ka'akum is only midirabbanan, the mechal Shabbos of Shech Tzedeh Mishchitos and Nevele is only midirabbanan, and Noivir Abu Rizor Shishochat Shchitos and Nevele is only midirabbanan. The whole concept of Mumin Dina Kakum, the whole story, the whole Yeredeyah, Mumin Abu Rizor, Mumin Chal Shabbos Befresian, Mumin Lerob Dina Hatorah, all of this is only midirabbanan. So what is it patterned after? What is the Din Deraisa? Where is there Kain Deraisa Tikkun? So there is a possibility of explaining what the Kein Daraisa Tikkun is. The Rambam in the Tirush HaMishnayis has a long Hakdama, as many of you must be familiar with. Ram has a long introduction to Perek Chelik, where he lists off what he considers are the Yud Gimel Ikar Hu Amunim. That we have another cloud that Apikurus is Dina Kaakum. So what's based on Apikurus? The person who doesn't believe in one of the Ikari Hamunim. So what are the Ikari Hamunim? So the Rambam's opinion is that there are 13 Ikari Hamunim. So we believe in the existence of God. We believe that there's only one God, Yichud Hashem. We believe in Hashgacha Pratis. We believe in Bechira Chavshis. We believe in Tzadi Yonish. We believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. And so on and so forth. We believe in Bias HaMashiach. The Rambam lists off all the 13 Ikari Hamunim. We believe in Nevuah, we believe in the worst Moshe Rabbeinu is a higher Madragan than that of the other Nevi'im. The Rambam lists off 13 Ikarim. Others disagree, the Sefer HaYikarim by Rabbi Yosef Albert disagrees. He says that basically it boils down to 3 Ikarim. You don't have to be mefarad, so many different Ikarim. Even within the 13 Ikarim that the Rambam listed off, there are a lot of details. Not every single detail is considered an Ikar and Emunah. There are a lot of things that the person doesn't necessarily believe, doesn't make him into an Apikarim. So he's thinking improperly. Rama has to pick out which of the 13 Ikari Hu Amunim. So Rabbi Yosef Albo is not so convinced that the Rama is right that we should consider these 13 Ikari Hu Amunim. He thinks that there are only 3, basically. It boils down to 3. We believe in the existence of God, Metzius Hashem. We believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. We believe in Schar V'Yoinish. And everything else is just an aspect of this. You believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, so mainly you believe in Nevuah. Mainly you believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, Adon HaNevi'im. This is all details within Torah Min HaShemayim. And the other things are all details within Schar V'Yoinish, and the others are all details within Metzius Hashem. That's what many say, that the 3 brachas that we recite on Rosh Hashanah and Musaf, Malka, and Chen HaShoifes correspond to the 3 Ikari Hu Amunah that Rabbi Yosef Albo mentioned. And Malchi is, we believe in the existence of Hashem. And in Shoifres, after Miglais of Anan Kadacha Harsina Ledabri Imam, Shoifres is about Gilui Shechina, that we believe in Nevuah, in Torah Min HaShemayim, and there will be Lasi Lava, there will be a Gilui Shechina Lasi Lava. That's the second Iker. And the third Iker is Zechronis, it's Schar V'Yoinish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that's happening, and people have Bechira Chavshis, and therefore people are held responsible for what they do. There's reward and punishment because of the fact that there's Bechira Chavshis. If there wouldn't be any Bechira Chavshis, it wouldn't make sense to have any Schar V'Yoinish. So basically, the 3 brachas of the that we add on to the Musaf Dikash Monesra and Rosh Hashanah, we are reviewing, that's the outline of the 3 brachas. Each bracha, you start off with a statement of Emunah, what do we believe in? We say, and so on. Each bracha begins with an introduction, where we state what the Ikar and Emunah is, and then we demonstrate that this is correct based on Psukim and Tanakh, so we quote 10 Psukim from Tanakh to show that the Ikar and Emunah are so. And then we conclude with a bracha, with a bakasha, with a tchina, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fulfill a promise that he made in this area. The promises that he made in the area that he's going to make a Gilui Shechina L'Asi Lava, he's going to bring Mashiach, and the promise that the Zecher HaBris, he's going to judge the Jewish people favorably, and so on. So according to Rabbi Yosef Albo, there are only 3 Ikari Hu Emunah. So the Rambam, when he lists off all of these Ikari Hu Emunah, that's a shaila, 13 or 3, it's a detail shaila. But they both agree there's such a concept as Ikari Hu Emunah. So when the Rambam writes this up in the Hakdamah, the Perek Chelek, so he says right before he gets to the Yisod HaRishon, the Yisod HaShen, here it's page Kuf Chav Dalet in the Gemara, after the Rosh, so he writes a line that whoever doesn't believe in the Ikari Hu Emunah is not part of Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam seems to be distinguishing between 2 different concepts. There's Kedushas Yisrael, and there's Klal Yisrael. If you don't have Kedushas Yisrael, it's out of the question. You're not going to be part of Klal Yisrael. But just because you have a Kedushas Yisrael, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a chelek of Klal Yisrael. Let's say a Jew becomes a Meshumet. I had that case years ago. There was a Galach who wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. Brother Daniel, I forgot the case of many years ago, 40 years ago. Brother Daniel, he moved to Eretz Yisrael and he wanted to become a citizen. Under the Chok HaShvus, the law of return. So he said, because a Jew, even if he becomes a Meshuman, is still considered a Jew, and therefore he's entitled to become a citizen right away without the long arichas that a non-Jew would require in order to gain citizenship. So the Supreme Court said at that time, yeah, he's Jewish, but he's not part of Klal Yisrael. That chilek is correct. He is Jewish. You can't use him as a Shabbos goy. You can't sell your chametz to this galach because sof kol sof he's a chayit. And he's muzer on balyura by mutton. He's not allowed to be machal Shabbos. He's not allowed to be machshel him in a nisim. But he's talking that part of Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Supreme Court said at that time, that the Chok HaShvuos, in order to be accepted as a citizen in the Medinis Yisrael right away, with no questions asked, it's not sufficient that you have a Kedushas Yisrael. You have to have more than that. You have to be a member of Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam writes over here, not only one who is a Meshumet, a Galach, is not part of Klal Yisrael. He has Kedushas Yisrael, but is not part of Klal Yisrael. He says, whoever doesn't subscribe to Yud Gimel Yikorei Amuna is not considered part of Klal Yisrael. The Mai Nafkemina on the level of their Raisa, the Mai Nafkemina, the Chok, the law returned that the secular law, Mai Nafkemina on the level of their Raisa, that a person has a Kedushas Yisrael, but he's not part of Klal Yisrael. So there are here and there, there are some halachos. Rabbi Yochanan has a tshuva, he discusses. He raises the possibility that the Klal Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, that I have an obligation to speak with the other people of the Averis, and I have the ability to say Kiddush for other people, even though I already was here to say Kiddush because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. Rabbi Yochanan has in the first tshuva in the Ein Yitzchak and Chelek Aben Ezer, he raised the possibility that maybe that's only if all of the people are part of Klal Yisrael, so the Roman Turev together. But if, let's say, the person is Mamash HaMeshumet or a Mumer, he has the Kedushas Yisrael, but he's not part of Klal Yisrael, so he raises the possibility, maybe the Din of Arvus doesn't apply. Or the Minchas Chinuch raises the possibility that maybe the Din of Mamachdus HaShekel, that the Karbanas Tzibur are offered on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So he raises the question, what if a Mumer or an Apikoros will donate money to the Machzor Tashek? If a Nachri donates money to the Mishnah, says he can't accept it, because the Nachri can only give to the Beis HaMikdash things that are bought by Neder and Adover. A Mishnah and Shkog. The Machzor Shekel is not bought by Neder and Adover. You can only give it if you're Mechuyif to give it. So the Nachri is not Mechuyif. So the Shaila is, what if a Mishumer will give? So the Minchas Chinuch raises the possibility maybe you can't take Machzor Shekel from a Meshumet because it's not part of Klal Yisrael, and the Karbonas are offered on behalf of Klal Yisrael, not on behalf of all those who have a Kedushas Yisrael. These are two different things. One is based on the other. If you don't have a Kedushas Yisrael, that's not shaykh to discuss whether you're part of Klal Yisrael. But just because you have a Kedushas Yisrael doesn't necessarily follow that you're going to be a part of Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Rambam writes this interesting Kiddush. He thinks that whoever is an Apikoros, is Dina Kakum, there is at this Arkane. Maybe the whole Dina Apikoros, Dina Kakum, that if you Shech, Shchitas, and Avela, and all the other Dinam, Dina Kakum, maybe all of those are only the Rabbanim. But everything is patterned after a Din Deraisa. What's the, called the Tikkun Rabbanim, Kane Deraisa, Tikkun, what is the Din Deraisa? That these people, the Apikursim, are not part of Klal Yisrael. This is if it's a concept on the level of their eyes. There is a Rambam, a famous Rambam in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah, where the Rambam lists off all of the Ikari Mamuna. He doesn't write them as clearly as he writes over here, 1, 2, 3, all the way till 13. Yes, he puts some in one place and some in another place. It's questionable why he didn't arrange it the same way he arranged it here in the Pirush HaMishnayos. So he writes that all of these people who believe that God has a body, we believe that God doesn't have a body. Whoever believes God has a body is an Apikoros, and Dina Kakum, Shchitas, and Avela. So just historically, not everybody agreed with the Rambam. Many of the Bali Atesis, many Rishonim put the Rambam's more in the Bukhim and Cherim because they thought that was Apikoros. They thought, what do you mean? It doesn't stand up that God has a body. Any Hashem, Yad Hashem. Everything is Mutanah. So they believe that God did have a body. So many of them burned the Mar in the book because they thought that statement was Apikus. So the Rambam makes a statement that whoever thinks that God has a body, that's Apikus. That's the generally accepted opinion today. We assume God doesn't have a body. So the Ravid has a Hasoga on the Rambam. The Ravid, the way it's printed by us in the Ravid agrees with the Rambam that he thinks that God does not have a body. But he takes issue with the Rambam. Rambam says whoever believes God has a body is an Apikoros. So he says there were Gedolim and Toivim Heimenu, there were people who were greater tzaddikim than the Rambam who believed that God had a body incorrectly. The writer says, and what misled them? The Agados Hamshapshos Es Hadas. They read the Agadot in the Gemara that misleads people. I got it. The Gemara talks about God sneezing and God getting angry and God's face and God's arm and God like tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. It sounds like God has a body. The simple reading in the Gemara. So the Rabbi says, how can you fault these tzaddikim? How can you fault these gedolim etovim heimenu and call them apikursim? But it's not their fault. It's because they were misled because of the Agadah Tamashapshet HaSadas. It's not their fault. So the Ravid is in agreement with the Rambam that God doesn't have a body, but he doesn't agree with the Rambam that he says whoever thinks that God has a body is an apikoros, and apikoros being a gakum. He says, how can you fault them if it's b'shoyge? It's not their fault. So what's taka, the Rambam's position over here? It's taka not their fault. They look in the Tanakh, they look in the Talmud, it says, the Banish one put Tom Tzvon Shal Yad and Tzvon Shal Rosh, sounds like he has a body like we have. Has an arm and he has a head. So they have a famous comment in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he said on the Rambam, and Nebuch HaBikurs is Zechan HaBikurs. It's Nebuch HaRachmanis on him. It's not his fault. He is misled into believing that God has a body based on his studying of Torah, based on his studying of Tanakh, and his study of the Agodas, Hamshapshet, and Sadas, like the expression used by the Ravid. But an HaBikurs B'Shegig is also an HaBikurs in Dina Kapa. The Ravid apparently thinks that apikoros dina katum is only a penalty mid the rabbanon. It's only a knas mid the rabbanon. So the Gemara has a whole sugi in Hanizok, and we come to the conclusion: lo konsu shog got the mezi. Whenever there's a penalty, you only penalize if the person didn't have there the mezi. But if it's not his fault, he sits and he learns all day and all night. And he got the misimpression from the Tanakh and from the Agadah and the Gemara that the Rabbanon Shalom has a body. So it's b'shoigig, it's not because b'shoigig. So how can you say dina kakom, he doesn't deserve to be punished? And the way the Rambam seems to hold it up, because dina kakom is a real din deraisa, not a penalty to the Rabban. The Chidor has a chibur on the Ein Yankif. He has a run commentary on the Agadah. I think it's called the Marisayim. So Tovai and the Marisayim has two svarim. And the Ein Yankif, the Agadah is only included in the Ein Yankif, he has two svarim. Commentary is very interesting. So he quotes a lot of times Kisva Yad from Rishonim that were not available for some now. Everything is available. But at that time, the Chidor was a Meshulach for Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, traveled all over Eastern Europe and Western Europe. So whenever he would come to a community, he would always go first he would raise some money for the Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael. Then he would go all the time to the library and to see what Kisva Yad they had. He would copy things then. That's why the Birkei Yosef always quotes all these, the Meiris that were in Ksav Yad, the other Kisvi Yad, the Rishonim, so not Gemara and Hulin on Daf Hey, in the first paragraph. The Gemara talks about a Mumad Dina Kakum, so he quotes a Machlokes Rishonim regarding this, where the Mumad Dina Kakum, Apikoros Dina Kakum, is this a penalty Midirabbanon, or is this a Din Deraisa? The Shach has the same Machlokes as Din and Beit, where the Mumal Chal Shabbos, Mumal Avedizar Dina Kakum, is it a Din Deraisa, Din Derabbanon? So the Chidor quotes that it's really a Machlokes Rishonim. So, because of this issue, the way they say the name Rab Chaim, that the Machlokes, the Ramam and the Ravid is whether Apikoros B'Shoigig is Dina Kakomana. Let's say a person is brought up by parents, Reformed Jews. They never educated, they tell the child that there's no such thing as Torah Min HaShamayim. He was never given, many Jews in Eretz Yisrael, they were never given a proper education. They see that the other Jews do differently, but they were brought up by their parents not believing in these things. So what's the status of an apikoros b'shoigig? You say an apikoros b'shoigig is dina ka'akum? Or no, it's not b'shoigig. The Rambam writes in one place, the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, I think on Daf Chav Vav, Daf Chav Zayin, the Gemara says that apikursim, there's a special punishment that maridim v'lo malim, that you have to try to cause to get rid of them, to be gorim. Outright mitzvicha we don't do, but grammar mitzvicha we do. We try to get rid of them because they're a cancer to the society. This man says you can't do it. What mean a cancer to the society? You'll kill more than 50% of the Jewish population. It doesn't make any sense. If you live in a community, there's one apikoros and he's ruining the discipline in the community. So then lohayroa shalom mikdam milsa. The Gemara has such a rare din and rare occasions you apply. But the Chazanish says this man is that's not shy. You don't have such punishment. So the Rambam writes when he quotes that din. So the Rambam writes that this halacha that apikoros deserves an oinish, and sometimes even do a grammar tzicha. So he said this only if the fellow was brought up as an observant Jew, and then he rejects everything. Only if he's really a poshea, if he's amazing. But if he was brought up by parents who are not religious, if he was brought up as a non-religious person, so it's all b'shoigeg. So he doesn't deserve any onish. That, there's no question about. The onish that you give to the apikoros is only if it's amazing. If it's the sugar, of course you don't give an onish. But this is the machlokes. What about this aloha? Apikoros dina ka'akum. Is that a punishment? Is that a knas min derabbanan? So if it's a knas min derabbanan, so you only give the knas to the person who deserves to be penalized. If he's an apikoros, then amazing. If he was brought up in a religious home and then he rejects everything because life is easier the other way. But if he's an apikoros b'shogeg, it doesn't make sense to penalize him. Or should we assume no? Apikoros dina ka'akum means because he's lacking something in his din Yisrael to be a member. Kedushas Yisrael he has. You can't use him as your Shabbos goy. You can't sell your chametz to him. But to say that he's part of Klal Yisrael, that's not. That's what the Rambam says. That he's not part of Klal Yisrael. That's a real din deraisa. Because in order to be considered a full Yisrael, in order to have the full Kedushas Yisrael, to be a full member of Klal Yisrael, you have to believe in the Yikori HaMuna. Whoever doesn't believe in the Yikori HaMuna is lacking in his status as Yisrael. And it's not a penalty. It's not a knas min derabbanan. It's a real din deraisa that apikoros dina ka'akum. So that's what they quote B'Shem Rav Chaim, that that seems to be the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether apikoros dina ka'akum is a penalty min derabbanan, or it's a real din min haTorah. Nafkamina being, what if he's an apikoros b'shogeg?
What is the nafkamina when the Russian has a
really nothing seems to
understand. I'm thinking that perhaps that if he has a group that we see him as a so forth.
Okay.
That's really what they're not doing.
I mean, why do we consider it so serious that we consider it one of the Ikari HaMuna?
Right.
I'm
ready to...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's possible if you have him as a group that you might run into the problem of Yichud Hashem more than one. With bodies, that's the problem.
Right, that's what the Rambam proves, that God doesn't have a body. His philosophical proof is because we believe in the unity of God. There's only one God, so whoever has a body, so you have fingers and you have legs and you have a body and a head and a neck and a chest. So it's really a composite unit. It's not one, it's not an Achdus Pshuta, it's an Achdus Murkavah. So the Rambam says, whenever you have something that has a physical body, you can't really call it one. It's not really one. So you're explaining why logically, that's the Rambam's philosophical proof, why God cannot possibly have a body. But why does the Rambam consider it so important that he counts it as one of the Ikari HaMunas? He's trying to explain why it belongs in the list of the Ikari HaMunas. There's so many other points of information in Tanakh that are important to know, but they don't qualify as the Ikari HaMunas. How did the Rambam know to pick these 13? That's an important question. Why? How did he know to choose? The Gemara never says these 13. Baharai Rabbi Yosef Alba thinks there are only three. So how did the Rambam know that these are the 13 Ikari HaMunas? That's a good question. Well, what's so significant about this seeker that the Rambam feels that it's so important that whoever doesn't think like this is an apikoros dina ka'akum? There's a famous line in the Chasam Sofer lived at the beginning of the Reform movement. He was fighting against their apikoros, their kfir. So they were writing books about Ikari HaMunah then. Mendelssohn and others were writing books about Ikari HaMunah and the Shemiras HaMitzvah. So the Chasam Sofer has one line in one of his tshuvas. How many Ikari HaMunah are there? So there are 613 Ikari HaMunah. Every mitzvah is an Ikar and you can't live without any of the mitzvahs. So it's Taka question, what is this whole story all about, this Ikari HaMunah? That's what they quote. They once asked Rav Chaim, what is this whole business about Ikari HaMunah? What's the difference between Ikari HaMunah and mitzvahs? Some sages talked that there were 613 Ikari HaMunah. So they quote in the name Rav Chaim that he explained the ABC of what it's all about. He said if a person never heard of Shiloh HaKan, never heard of some obscure mitzvah, not rather a popular mitzvah, Shiloh HaKan. Let's say he picked some mitzvah that he never heard of. So you call him an Amoris. You don't call him an Apikur. But if the person never heard of Torah Min HaShamayim, or a person never heard of Schar V'Yonish, a person never heard about Pirei Chofshes, so then we give him a different label. Instead of calling him an Amoritz, we call him an Apikoros. Even though it's B'Shogeg, that corresponds to what Rabbi Ochanan of Asana quotes in the name of Rabbi Chaim on the other Rambam. The Ravid was Masik on the Rambam. The Ravid asked, how can the Rambam say the one who believes that God has a body is an Apikoros Dina Ka'akum? Said the Ravid asked, but there were G'doylim Metoivim Hemena. There were people who were greater tzaddikim, more pious than the Rambam, who fell into this trap because of the Agadas HaMashapshes HaSadas, and they thought that God has a body. Is it right to call them an apikoros? So how can the Rambam attack them? So they quote the name Rav Chaim, Nebuchadnezzar, Abita Rachmanes on them, but Nebuchadnezzar is an apikoros. So this other part that the Kvotram Chantaka corresponds to this, that if a person never heard of a certain obscure mitzvah from the Taryag mitzvah, so you call him an Amor, so the world doesn't come to an end. But if a person never heard of the Ikar Himunah, never heard of the B'shoigeh, so then we call him an Abikar. It means that there's something incomplete in his Kedushas Yisrael, possibly even on the level of their Eisen. The Mishnah speaks about the people who are going to be punished, they're not going to have a chelik in Olam HaBa, and the Mishnah says an apikoris. So in common usage today, we usually use the expression apikoris, one who doesn't believe in the Yud Gimel Ikar HaMunah. So the Gemara over here explains that the word apikoris in the Mishnah doesn't mean that. The Gemara says the word apikoris in the Mishnah, Tzadikam and Aleph, apikoris, my apikoris, and the Gemara says one is Mavaza Talmid HaChacham. One is Mavaza Talmid HaChacham, is an apikoris, and is Dina Kako. So let's say the local Sheikhet. The local Sheikhet is, the rabbi comes to Sheikh to check the Sheikhet whether he's Sheikhet properly. And then the Sheikhet sees the rabbi does not Hilchas Shechita and he's Mavaza the rabbi. You can visualize such a thing happening. Or let's say, you have a minion in the shul, you have exactly 10 people, and one of the people is Mavaza the rabbi. So, because Dina Kafka, you can't be Mitzarfin to the minion. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tshuvas HaRambam that you cannot be Mitzarfin Apikoris to a minion. Because Apikoris Dina Kafka, so you only have 9 Jews and one person is Dina Kafka. Moshe Feinstein has an original Chiddush. He thinks that you can be mitzvahs against the Rambam. He is against the Tshuvas HaRambam. He didn't hold from that Tshuvas HaRambam. All the Tshuvas HaRambam are questionable because they're all translated from the Arabic into the Hebrew, so we don't have the original, and we never know whether they're authentic or not. So maybe that's Rav Moshe. He doesn't even address the fact that all of the poskim quote the Prima Godim and the Mishnah Berurah and all the later poskim, they all quote this Tshuvas HaRambam from the Pe'er Ador, from the standard collection of Tshuvas HaRambam, that are because you cannot be mitzvahs to the minyan. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva where he disagrees. He says that the Gemara says in Saita, in Perek Elan Amorim, that the Meraglim were apikursim, because they said, Kichozukum imenu. They thought that the nations who lived in Eretz Canaan were more powerful than the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Even the Rabbanu Shel Olam doesn't have power to win a war against these Zionumas. So the Gemara says that the Meraglim who said that were apikursim. Nonetheless, how did the Gemara establish that you need 10 people to constitute a minion? So the Gemara learns it out from the 10 Meraglim. So, but how can you learn out that the 10 Meraglim were apikoris dina kafim? So everybody usually learns, you just learn out that the word Eda, Mikdash to the Sof in Israel, you learn out the word Eda means 10 people. You're not learning out that those 10 people would be mitzvahs to a minion. So Moshe takes it very literally. He says, no. But the Gemara learns out that the 10 Meraglim, there were 12 Meraglim, and 2 of them were okay. And Mosele the Harazos only goes on the 10 who said the Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara is establishing the whole principle that a Davish Bigdusha needs a minion and the Kiddush Hashem is the Fnei Atzorah. The Yisrael is all based on that pasuk. So you see that Apikurism are also mitzvahs. That's what he says. So the question is, if one assumes like the Rambam, that Apikurism, Dina Ka'akum is not mitzvah to a minion. That's what it's usually assumed. Not like Rav Moshe said. So what if someone is Mavaza the rabbi? Someone is Mavaza a rabbi all the time, not just the Shoyim. Mavaza all the rabbis, no discrimination. So you can't be Mitzarf into a minion. How can that be? So the Tshuvas Maharil, he says, no. When it says in the Mishnah, Apikoris, and Lechelik Le'elam Abo, we punish him, and the Gemara says, my Apikoris, Mavaza Tamachochom, he says, that's a Loshen Mushal. He's not the Mavaza Tamachochom. He's not an apikoris, it's Dina Kahakum. We only call him an apikoris, we borrow an expression, it's a Loshen Mushal. We call him an apikoris only with respect to this, that he's going to lose. He deserves such a great punishment, he's going to lose his Olam HaBa. But to say Shechitas and Avela, if the Sheikhet is, Sheikhet is the crick with the rabbi in town, in a little village in Europe, and the Sheikhet is Mavaz of the rabbis, you're going to say it's an apikoris, Dina Kahakum, Shechitas and Avela? No! The Mishnah is thus telling us that the Avera, being Mevazet Tamir HaChachamim, is so serious, and Avera, he's going to lose his Olam HaBa because of that. That's what it says. That's the context of the Mishnah. Mishnah never says that Apikoris and Mevazet Tamir HaChachamim is Dina Kakam. The one who's Dina Kakam is the only one who doesn't subscribe to the Ikari HaEmunah, either the 13 that the Rambam listed off, or the 3 that the Sefer HaYikarim, the Rabbi Yosef Albo, listed off. So the... So the Rambam here in the commentary in the Pirush HaMishnah lists off what he considers are the Yud Gimel Ikori HaEmuna. Some of them are included here in the Mishnah. We believe in Chiyas HaMeisim. The Rambam considers that one of the Ikori HaEmuna. We believe in Schar V'Yonesh. You believe in Schar V'Yonesh, but mainly you believe in Chiyas HaChavshes. So these are all separate Ikori HaEmuna. Watch it. No, you don't know what the word apikur means today. Everybody knows what the word apikur means. That commonly used word. The Mishnah says the apikuris is zain lachelik yolam abo. It doesn't say dina kafim. The Rambam never says that in Shas apikuris dina kafim. The Rambam says like that. Shulchan Aruch says like that. The Gemara says zogad abed azara is dina kafim ishchitos and avela. Never really says that apikuris is dina kafim ishchitos and avela and can't be mitzvahim to me. This is all in the Rambam and in the Poskim. It doesn't say that.
The Mishnah says one merenchias amesim and the other one is not apikuris.
Okay, so you see that the usage of the term apikuris is that he's a light-headed person, he's disrespectful to the rabbanim, right? So in the usage, in the context of this Mishnah, it bedavka doesn't mean apikuris who doesn't subscribe to the Yud Gimel Ikori HaEmuna, right? But it doesn't have the status that the Tshuvas Maril, it doesn't have the status of an apikuris that we are familiar with, apikuris dina kafim. That's a different halacha. Gil Ashas on the side of the Gemara refers you to a Tosis in Saito who is bothered with Akasha. Tosis in Saito has two kashas. The Gemara in the first paragraph in Saito says that one who is a Balgaiva, a Gas Ruach, is a Lachel to Olam Abba. So Tosis freaked Akasha. How come it doesn't appear in the Mishnah? The Mishnah is giving you the rule, Elushen Lam Chelet Olam Abba. The following people don't not going to get to Olam Abba. So why doesn't it say that the Gassi Haruach don't have a Chel Gelam Abba? Then while Tosis is added, and not Tosis, then Rebbe Kibbeg refers to Andach. So Tosis there asked another kasha. That the Gemara says in the last parak in Ksubis that Ami Ha'aretz are not common with Chiyas HaMeisim. There's no Chiyas HaMeisim for an Amor. So Tosis says, how come it doesn't mention it in the Mishnah? Mishnah is talking about those who are going to be punished, not going to have Chiyas HaMeisim. One who doesn't believe in Chiyas HaMeisim is not going to have, he himself will not have Tchilas HaMeisim. So the Gemara says, why? The first line in the Gemara, Kol Kach Loma, why is it punishment that he's not going to have Tchilas HaMeisim? Tono, so the Brisa explains it, who Kol Kach Tchilas HaMeisim? L'fiuch Liyo L'chelek Tchilas HaMeisim, because Kol Midos Rishal Kodesh Boch HaMidu Kenegin Midu. Since he denies this principle of Tchilas HaMeisim, so he deserves the punishment, he himself shouldn't experience a Tchilas HaMeisim. So if the Mishnah speaks about people who are not going to have a chel gadol ma'bo, doesn't all go on olam ma'bo, goes on chiyas ha'meisim also. And the Gemara says in the last parak in Ksubis that Ami Ha'aretz are not going to have chiyas ha'meisim. So how come it doesn't appear in the Mishnah? That's Tosis Kash. Tosis doesn't have a teretz. So Rabbi Chana Vasserman has in the collection of essays on Mili Da'agadot, Rabbi Chana has a very interesting comment that it's fundamental to the whole understanding of the Mishnah over here. He says this, the Mishnah here is part of the series of Mishnahis that started before. The Mishnah listed off Arba Mises Bezin. We were learning for years. It says, Elohim HaNisrofen, Ve'elohim HaNiskolim first, Ve'elohim HaNisrofen, Ve'elohim HaNechnokim, Ve'elohim HaNeherogim. And then you have Vaita Elohim HaLokim, and Makas, and Elohim HaGolim. And now you have over here, the following people are punished. These are punishments that they get, punishments that are the day of them. And then we had a list of punishments on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes a Tosefta, Elu Shechemisa. That's not in the Mishnah, that's a Tosefta in Krisis and a Tosefta in Zvachim. It says, the following list of people get Misa B'dei Shammai. And part of them appeared in the Mishnah. Part appeared in the Mishnah, Hoeval Dibbe Novi's Misa B'dei Shammai. So the Gemara quotes a Tosefta with a fuller list as well. So this Mishnah is also, Elu, everybody has a Chel Galam Abor, except for Elu Shenam Chel Galam Abor. The following people are punished, that they lose their Olam Abor, they're not going to have Tchias HaMeisim because they deserve an Oynish, they deserve a punishment. So Rabbi Chanan quotes, Rabbi Chanan learned by the Chofetz Chaim, he writes the Chafetz Chaim Shlita, that he writes in the Chafetz Chaim Shlita, quotes from the Chaye Odom, a comment on a Gemara in Brachas, and the second parak. The Gemara has a question, in what the Noshim the Maizakim, what schools do the women have? What do you mean, what schools do the women have? They observe all the mitzvahs that they have. I'm talking about Orthodox women. Noshim the Maizakim, what schools do the women have? So the Gemara says, because they prepare their children to go to learn in school and cheder, and sometimes they wait up late till the husbands come back from learning in the Beis Medrash. So because they encourage their husbands and their children to learn Torah, so therefore they're going to be zeichet Torah mapo. What do they have to encourage? And if it's a single woman that doesn't have husband, doesn't have children, but she's observant, she goes to shul, she davens, and she keeps all the mitzvahs of Torah. So what do you have to say? She has a schus over there. So the Chafetz Chaim in his writings quotes from the Chaye Odom that the pshat in the Gemara is, based on that Gemara in the last parak in Ksubis, that the Gemara says that Chiyas HaMeisim is only for those who learn Torah. Am Haaretz is not going to get Chiyas HaMeisim. So the Chaye Odom adds on, it's not as an Oynish, the Am Haaretz is not going to get Chiyas HaMeisim, it's not a punishment because he deserves a punishment for not learning because of the Avera Bittul Torah. The women don't deserve any punishment for Bittul Torah. The women don't have the same obligation as the men. The women only have an obligation to learn the dinim to the extent that they have to learn to know how to be observant. They have to learn the laws of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha and cheating in business and so on in order to know how to be observant, how to be religious. But they're not obligated to learn Bayoma, Balayla, Bahasmada, Merubba. Not obligated to sit and learn Zroyim, and if they live in America, and they're not obligated to sit and learn Taras, most of it is irrelevant as much as the men are obligated not only to learn what's Negel Aloch, they're obligated to learn Kol HaTorah Kulan, to learn Bahasmad and Merubah, to keep on Chazring. Women are only Mechui Velamadatam Osim Mishmartam Lasos. So nonetheless, that's what the Chayyorim says, nonetheless, even though the women don't deserve a punishment for not being involved in learning, they're not Mechui to be involved all day in Elmai. They learn enough in order to know how to get by, to observe the mitzvahs. Nonetheless, the Gemara was asking a question, Noshim and Maizachion, because the Olam Habo, with the Chiyas HaMeisim, it's not as a punishment that you lose Olam Habo and Chiyas HaMeisim because of the Aveira Bittul Torah. It's not an Oynish. No, it just doesn't make any sense. The Olam Habo and Chiyas HaMeisim only has a Shaitan to those who learn Torah. Whoever doesn't learn Torah has no Shaitan. That's what the Chafetz Chaim quotes in the name of the Chayyodim. So Rabbi Chanan says, once you know that that's the pshat in the Gemara in the end of Ksubas, that Amei Haaretz are not going to be coming with Chiyas HaMeisim, so then we understand very well why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah here. The Mishnah is listing off Elo She'elam Chelok Ve'olam Abo, means the following people deserve a punishment, despite the fact that they would fit in the Olam Abo. They learned a lot of Torah, they're full of Torah. And Olam Haba has to do with people who learned Torah, even though they would fit in, but nonetheless, because of the Chaymah HaAvera that they violated, so they're punished like Elohein HaNiskolin and Elohein HaNisrafin and Elohein HaNechnokin. So these are the people whose Averis will cause them to lose Olam Haba. But the reason why the Mishnah does mention the Amei Haaretz, that they don't have Chiyas HaMeisim or Olam Haba, is because it has nothing to do with their punishment. It's not that they deserve this punishment, because Olam Haba just doesn't make any sense. It's the Olam HaNeshamas, and the Neshamas only makes sense to have Hano and Olam Haba if they learn Torah during their lifetime. If they never learned Torah during their lifetime, then there's nothing to get any Hano and Olam Haba. And nonetheless, it's interesting, and nonetheless, when the Gemara says in Baruchas, Noshim and Maizachyan, so the Gemara says, to have a Shaychis, but Olam Haba doesn't necessarily have to be through Liman HaTorah, actual, really learning, the real McCoy. If one is mechazik Torah, one supports Torah, one encourages, one donates a lot of money to yeshivas, or one encourages the husband to learn, one encourages the children to learn, so to support Torah, to demonstrate avas haTorah, is also, you'll have a shaychus Olam Haba. It's interesting. One might have thought that perhaps it's only one who actually has a lot of Torah in his mind. So the Gemara says, no. If you encourage others, if you demonstrate avas haTorah, by encouraging others and supporting others who are interested in learning, so also have a chelik in Olam Haba.
What about the
Gasi? The Gasi Haruach, that's another kasha, right. Tesis, it's one Tesis in Saita, Rabbi Akivegi refers, it's one Tesis in Saita quotes the both kashas. So this is Rabbi Chanan answers the kasha on the Amei Haaretz. Then in the Gasi Haruach, he suggests another unrelated answer, not shaykh to this. He says maybe the Gasi Haruach, you can have wonderful people, and every so often they blurt out something that demonstrates arrogance. But you can't call a person a gas ruach. Basically, he's a nice, normal person, and once in a while, it flies off the handle, and he makes a statement that's, that demonstrates guidance. Agash Ruach, that is saying, Lechel Golmabo, is not as an Oynish, he suggests a little bit along the same lines, not as an Oynish for the Averit that he once did Gashus Ruach. No, it's only if he's really a Gash Ruach, if the person is always a Gash Ruach. He says, maybe that's the difference. The Mishnah is listing off people who did an Averit, so as an Oynish for that Averit, they deserve to lose their Golmabo. But the Gash Ruach is not that as an Oynish for the Averit. He did the Averit once also. No, it means if he's. That's his personality. That's his ongoing personality, always like that. Like he quotes, I think the Rabbi Yonah writes, the kat nasapri loshen hara, zain lachel gol mabor. There are people that talk loshen hara once in a while. We know people that once in a while talk loshen hara. It's not called kat nasapri loshen hara. The kat nasapri loshen hara means that that's their whole personality. They're always involved in loshen hara, all day and all night. So that's the difference. He suggests maybe that would answer the kasha by the Gashi HaRuach as well. He also, that because he's a Gashi HaRuach, so he doesn't fit into Olam HaBo. That's what it means. It's not really, it could be, it's also not really as a punishment. Not really as a punishment, it just doesn't fit in. It's supposed to be. He doesn't go so far. Olam HaBo doesn't go so far. Well, the commentaries in the An Yankov point out an interesting idea that it says Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chel Gal Mabo. Everybody has a share. It doesn't say Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Oel Mabo. Kol Yisrael Boy Oel Mabo. Chelik implies that some people have a larger chelik and some people have a smaller chelik. This is what the Mesillas Yisharim has, but it already in the commentaries they quoted from the Akedah Yitzchok, I think. It already says in Rishonim this idea. Some people think mistakenly that everybody's divided into two categories. Those that are going to go to Olam HaBo, those that are not going to go to Olam HaBo. So those that don't go, those that go to Olam HaBo, they're all together. Everybody's on the same level. So how can that be? That's ridiculous. The tzaddik who worked this whole lifetime is going to get the same share in Olam HaBo as the fellow who just made it by the skin of his teeth. It doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Mesillas Yesharim quotes. And every day, Kedis Yitzchok also quotes. The Gemara has an expression that people are rough and lazy. Even religious Jews, they don't always do all the mitzvahs the way they're supposed to. And because they feel, well, it's not that important. It's not that important. So the Gemara says, Lasi Lava in Olam HaBo, they're going to be embarrassed. Kol Echad V'Echad will be Nichve Mikuposo Shel Chaver. Each tzaddik is going to have his own location. Some people are going to sit Oidnon in the Mizrachman, right next to the Shechina, and others are going to sit, they'll be led into this. Into this hall, into this location that's called the Olam HaBo, but they'll sit all the way in the back. They won't have a good seat, won't be able to see, won't be able to hear. They'll have a little bit of shtickel of yos. I'm not going to have the best part, and I'm not going to have the biggest part of the yos. I have a little share. So each one, that's the Lashon HaGemara, Kol Echad V'Echad Nichve, each one will be burnt. To see, I could have easily been on the same Madrega as him. I could have easily done the whole mitzvah B'Shleim Musadid, or I could have been medactic all the time, and the mitzvahs not violate the Averis. Now, Olam HaZeh, people don't pay attention, but when it'll come, Olam HaBo, they'll see the others are getting so much more schar than I am, that they realize how they lost them. So many of the commentaries say they think that that's the mashmos of the word chelik. Chelik has the connotation that not everybody has the same chelik. Everybody has a different share in the Olam HaBo. What is the mashmos in the Mishnah? Kol Yisrael Yesham Chelik Olam HaBo. Because the Gemara says that the Hasidi Yomis Olam also have chelik in Olam HaBo. So that's only the Hasidim of the soil. But by Klal Yisrael, the Mishnah is saying, Kol Yisrael Yesh Al Chelik Olam HaBo. There's a difference. The Neshomis of the Eden always have, even if they're not from the Hasidim Yisrael, even if they're not the most Gohebin Eden, they're not so medactic in mitzvahs. Unless they're big Bali Averis, that they deserve to be punished, so then they lose their Olam HaBo. But they don't deserve this punishment, so then we assume that that Kol Yisrael Yesh Mechel Olam HaBo, because every Yiddish in the neshamas that the Yidden have are different from the neshamas that the Nochrim have. That's what if you look in the Tanya, in the first page, that's the quotes from the Zohar. When you have a Nochri who converts, so what happens? So the Zohar says the old neshama disappears and he gets a new neshama, because the neshama of the Yid is different from the neshama of the Nochri. The neshama of the Yid The Gemara talks about Bechiras Yisrael, that everything is different by the Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara raises the possibility that there's a physical difference in the body temperature between the Eden and the Goyim. The Gemara says that the Shechazera inside the body will be Masriach after 3 Meisleis, or after 6 Meisleis, after 72 hours, the whole din of Poletas, 72 hours. So the Gemara has a Sofeg. What if it's the Shechva Zera Shal Yisrael in the goof of a Nochrist? Maybe the goof of the Nochrist, maybe the body temperature is higher or lower than the body temperature of the Yid. Why? Because the Yidin are daigi the mitzvahs. We're always running around, we're nervous about doing mitzvahs. The Nochrim are not nervous. But maybe the body temperature is higher or lower. Or maybe since they have a different diet, since the Yid Shkotz Meremosim, we eat only kosher food, so maybe it's different. So now we realize that it's not so. The body temperature is assumed to be the same. We assume that it's the same. So that's why they quote, I think, in the name of Rav Hutner, Zechan Levracha, that he said the challenge of the next generation, that we're living now in the next generation after his generation, will be this issue of the Bechiras Yisrael, because all over the world, they're being mashra all people. All men are created equally, and everybody's equal. Everybody is the same. And the Torah says that it's not so. There's the Bechiras Yisrael. So the Gemara has it to the extent. The Gemara even thought that the body temperature is going to be different, physically different. So that's probably not so. Maybe some difference in the DNA, but that's not the main point. Even if there's no difference in the DNA, there's still a difference. The neshama is a different neshama. The neshama cannot be measured with any instrument, but our tradition has it that the neshama of the Eden is a totally different neshama from the neshama of the Nochrim. And the Yidin have an akuda pnimis within their neshama that always remains Kaddish and always remains Tahor and never becomes nitma. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Call it very rarely. It's going to be very rare that a person that's going to do such an avera hamura is going to forfeit his olam haba. We say kol yisrael yesh machel olam haba. Every Yid has this akuda pnimis within his neshama that really desires to keep the mitzvahs, as opposed to the Umas Olam. It's only the Hasidic Umas Olam. It's the rare occasion that you're going to have such a Taira Tachshit who's interested. And Gruria disagreed with him, and she said no, rather than pray that they should drop dead, pray that they should be Chayz of the children. And it's usually assumed that in this Machlekes between Rav Meir and Gruria, the Halach is like Gruria. In the back of the Gemara Brachas, they quote from Rishonim, I think. They talk about Tanoim and Amaroim and who has the right to Paskin. Interesting. So they write that Bruria was a Tana, and sometimes, this is Reb Meir, sometimes when Bruria disagrees with the other Tanoim, it's Paskin like Bruria. So here it's usually assumed, and this Agada said that the Maskana Sagmar is that we assume like Bruria. That it's not proper to pray that the Rishonim should die. The proper thing is that we should pray that the Rishonim should do truth. So what exactly the Nekudas HaMachlek is between Rav Meir and his wife Ruria? So Rav Kook has a famous interpretation, has a running commentary on the Yankis. So on that Gemara he explains that Rav Meir Gehalten, that there's a principle of the Chira Chavshit. Every person has Chira, that one of the Yud Gimel Ikori Amuna. What shot that I should pray that you should do tshuva? It doesn't make any sense. I have to pray that I should do tshuva. Hashavena, avinu l'saratech, l'kareinim, atinu l'avad esev, ha'sbirenim, b'tshuva shleim, l'fanacha, that we understand. Because the Gemara says in Sukkah that Yitzhu shalodim is gaber alav b'chol yom. The Yitzhahara is always fighting with us to get us to be nichshol to do aveiros. And we have to strengthen ourselves. The Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozrol, eini yochalo. Without the assistance of the Ribono Shel Olam, we will not be able to succeed in beating the Yetzer Hara. So we have to pray to the Ribono Shel Olam. He should help us control the Yetzer Hara. We have to be mispalo to give us a siyata d'shmaya to help us do tshuva. So we understand why we have to daven that we should do tshuva, but we should daven someone else to do tshuva. That's in violation of the principle of chira chavshit. The Ramei held it doesn't make any sense. How can you daven that someone else should do tshuva? It's nonsense. So Ishtel Shereb Meir explained that it's not so. Why is it that it doesn't make any sense? How can we daven that the other person should do tshuva? Rav Kook explains, based on the famous Rambam in the end of Perek Beis in Hilchos Gerushin, the season of the year, everybody always quotes that Rambam. The Mishnah says in Erechin that if the din, sometimes the din requires that a man should give a get to his wife, and if he doesn't give the get, the bezna has the right to beat him up, to bludgeon him to death. So she'll become either an amana or a gusha, one way or the other. Either he'll agree to give the get, and we're going to beat him up till he drops, till he dies. And sometimes the halacha says we just encourage him to give a get. We humiliate him in public, and we embarrass him, and we use all kinds of sanctions, but we don't use physical pressure. And sometimes we don't even do that. We just encourage him privately, and if he doesn't listen, so there's nothing we can do. Depends on the various cases. Depends how much at fault is the wife, how much at fault is the husband for ruining the marriage. Different cases. So sometimes you have kfiyah b'shoite. Sometimes you have kfiyah, you beat him up with a stick. Sometimes kfiyah b'mili. You force him by humiliating him in public. And sometimes you just speak privately, and you don't have any kfiyah at all. So the Gemara has a discussion. The Mishnah says in Erechin that sometimes makanoso, you beat him up till he agrees to give the get. So the Gemara in Cheskin Sabbatim is a whole famous discussion. What good is that? Halacha says that the get has to be given out of his own free will. So if you beat up the man till he says, Roitani, he says, that's the get bal karcha. How is that good? So the Gemara has two explanations. The one explanation is that it's based on the principle of Tolyu Bezovin Zvina Zvina. Let's say a fella has a home and he lives there. He's not interested in selling the home. And I come and I knock on the door. I say, I'd like to buy your home. He says, not interested. So I say, I'll pay you $1 million. Not interested. I'll pay you $2 million. Still not interested. Then I hold up a gun and I say, I want to buy your home for $2 million. So he says, okay. I'm threatening to kill him. So I say, okay. So the Gemara says, tell you the oven, zine zine. If tell you the yoid, if I hold a gun and I threaten to kill him unless he signs over his home for $1, the home is worth $1 million. What do you mean? So that's not fair. So that's Talyuh v'yoyz. If I pressure him until he gives me a matana, that's not that. But Talyuh v'zovin, I pressured him till he agreed to sell it to me for a reasonable amount of money. Maybe more than it's worth, maybe a little less than it's worth. But basically, I'm paying him a reasonable amount of money. So Rabbuna says Talyuh v'zovin is good. So the Gemara there has a shaila, should we accept Rabbuna's position or not? We do. We pass on our halacha like that. So the Gemara quotes this Mishnah in Erechin, that if you beat the husband up until he finally agrees to give his wife a get, so since the favorite says a get is good. So the Gemara asks, but it's like a get bal karcha. So the Gemara gives two explanations. The one explanation is that it's basically told you the zovin. Kolzman, the husband is Allah. Kolzman, the husband is married to his wife, so he has a wife who's taking care of preparing all the food, raising the children, taking care of everything that a good wife takes care of. But on the other hand, he has to support the wife. So he has to earn more money and has to give his wife food and clothing and everything. Once he gets rid of the wife, so he doesn't have the wife who's helping him out, but he doesn't have the obligations on the other hand to support the wife. So it's like Talyul Bezovin. We took away the wife from him, but at the same time, he's relieved from the obligations towards the wife. So the Gemara says, it's not that unreasonable. It's not that unreasonable. It is unreasonable, but it's not that unreasonable because in exchange for not having the wife, so now he no longer has the obligations towards the wife. So the Gemara says one can either explain the Mishnah based on Ravuna's position that Talyul Bezovin Zvina Zvina, or if one will reject Ravuna, so not all the Amorim agree to Ravuna, then the Gemara says one could explain the Mishnah differently. How come if we beat the fellow up till he agrees to do it again, why is it good? So the Gemara says maybe the explanation is because every Jew really wants to, even if he says he doesn't want to give his wife a get, every Jew really wants to listen to the rabbis, every Jew wants to follow the laws of the Torah, and the Torah says in this case he's supposed to give your wife a get. So when he says, when we beat him up and he finally agrees to give the get, that's really the truth. He really does want to give the get. So we assume that it's really Midaita. So the Rambam quotes that explanation. At the end of Perek Beis, and Hilchos Gerushin, and the Rambam quotes the Mishnah and Erechin that sometimes we force a man to give a get to his wife and beat him up. And after beating him up, then he says, Roitzani, so the Rambam says, the reason why it's good, it's not called the get bal karcha, because it's really true. Roitzani, his true self, really wants to give the get. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. The whole time that he says, I don't want to give a get, that's his pseudo-personality. That's not his real self. That's just as the Yetzahar is speaking. And when they beat him up and he says, Roitzani, now the truth is coming out. Because we know deep in his heart, that's what he really wants. Every Jew wants to observe mitzvah sater. So the Mefarshim and the Rambam have a difficulty. Why did the Rambam quote that explanation that the Gemara gave? The Rambam passes like Rav Huna that told you the Zavin is Vinin Zina. So he didn't even have to come out to this explanation. The Rambam could have said that if they force the husband to give a get, it's good because it's told you the Zavin. He doesn't have the wife and he doesn't have the obligation towards the wife, so it's not considered that unreasonable. It's like forcing him to sell a house a little less than it's really worth. So they ask Akasha, why did all the Akrainim talk about the Akasha of the Yerushalayim? It's not so long. Everyone has a long arichas. Why did the Rambam have to give this explanation? But Lamaisa, the Rambam quotes the other explanation that they really didn't need. If you're all like Rabboni, you didn't really need that explanation. Lamaisa quotes it. And that's what we assume. We assume that every Jew, deep in every Jew's neshama, really is that he does want to keep all the mitzvahs up there. So how do you understand the phenomenon that sometimes there are many Jews who say they don't believe in God, they don't believe in mitzvahs, they don't believe in Torah, and they're angry, and they're to Israel, and all these worse than in America. The Reform Jews in America don't start off with the back there. How do you explain this phenomenon? So it's like a sickness, a choyli. So that's what Bruria held. Look, if someone else is sick, then you do daven to the Rebbeinu Shlomo that the other person should have it or food. You don't. It's not a question of the Chiruch Hafshis. How can I daven to the Rebbeinu Shlomo that the other guy should do tshuva that doesn't have Chiruch Hafshis? The answer is, the other guy wants to do mitzvahs. Everybody wants to do the mitzvahs. Everybody wants to keep Torah. Everybody wants to do tshuva. He has a choli hanefesh over here that prevents his true self from expressing itself. So that's what Bruria said. It does make sense. It does make sense to be mispowered for the other person that he should do tshuva. Just like the Rambam quoted in the end of Perek Beis in Hilchos Gerushin, that we pressure people, we force people into giving a guest by bludgeoning them, by beating them up. So we assume that his true personality really is that he really does want to do that. So this is a basic distinction between Bnei Yisrael, the neshama of the Ben Yisrael, and the neshama of the Yom HaTzomus. And Gamsen a different neshama. The doctors and the scientists haven't yet been able to find this. We don't have any instruments that can measure this, that can see this. But that's our tradition, that it's a different neshama. The Gemara says in Nida that the Malach teaches all the Jewish babies, the Jewish boys and the Jewish girls, the Malach teaches all the Jewish babies Kol HaTarakula before they're born, and then he makes them forget it. So all the Mepharshim ask, what does he accomplish by teaching them Kol HaTarakula? Is going to make them forget it afterwards. It's a futility. So what is he wasting his time? Going to make them forget it. That's what our salvation gives to say, no, that's where this Abba Hamas Huteris, the Baba Tani calls it the Abba Hamas Huteris, the hidden love that every Jew has deep in his neshama, even if the person is an Afikervis Gomer, he's a Rosh Gomer, but we assume that there's an Akuda Plimis in the neshama of every Jew that he wants to do Ratzon Hashem, he wants to keep mitzvahs. Where does that come from? That comes from the fact that the Malach taught the baby, called a Terakula. Even though the Malach makes him forget, he doesn't have the knowledge, but this Roshan does remain behind. The desire, the love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes from the Limud HaTorah that every Jewish soul had before they were born. But the Yom HaSolem, you don't have that. So that's what the Mishnah says. Kol Yisrael, all Yidden have this within their Neshama. So they all have a Shaitis with Olam Haba. Everybody has a Shaitis. But the Yom HaSolem, you have, in rare instances, you're going to have a Chassid Yom HaSolem, so they'll be Zeichet Olam Haba.
Okay,
yeah, you're right. But in the Sena Haram, you don't have a Jewish medical school. That's the lesson I read. But in the Sena Haram, you don't have a Jewish medical school. So he says we should really be careful. Maybe all the medical information only goes by Nachum, it doesn't work by you. I think today, after they assume that everything is the same. Sometimes, of course, that Gemara and Shabbos, the Gemara says the body temperature may be different. That's a big problem now, even by very religious Jews. Very, very religious Jews. They don't see the difference between a Jew and a goy. They just say, yeah, we stood at Harsin and we have all these mitzvahs and we keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras on the spot, but they don't see that there's a fundamental difference. There is a major difference. We assume that there's a major difference between the neshama of Yid and the neshama of Anacha. The purple is. I have the Chiruch Hafshis, and I want to become a tzaddik, and I'm involved in a lot of averus. I asked the Rebbeinu Shlom to help me out to do tshuva. I find it difficult, so has the man of tshuva Shlom going to help me out? Because the Gemara says, "Amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ozro." Any Ocholam, the Gemara says the Yetzer Hara is so powerful, it's very hard to fight against them. It's Gabriela B'Hoyom, every day the Yetzer Hara comes upon new tricks. And without the divine assistance, no one can succeed in the battle against the Yetzer Hara. It makes sense, everyone should daven to the Rebbeinu Shlom to help them fight against the Yetzer Hara. But Rebbeinu held it doesn't make any sense at all to daven for Yenim, that he should do tshuva. How can I misfall? That's against the principle of the Chiruch Hafshis. So we don't assume like a mer, we assume like Bruya. That's basically the Maskana Sagamar, that she convinced her husband otherwise. He's got him to change his opinion. So that's the explanation of that is. That's what Rav Kook explains with that Rambam. That really the other person also wants to do Ratzon Hashem. He also wants to do Torah Mitzvah. It's just that he has a Choli HaNefesh, that his true self is hidden. And it can't come out. So it's like davening for a choyle, just like he davened for a choyle haguf. So too, he davened for a choyle hanefesh, that the person should be healthy enough that his true personality, his true sense should be able to come out. Now, so Vejig always used to comment on the Rambam in Hilchot Teshuva. The Rambam writes, Kfar hivticha ha-Torah, the Torah promises us, the Shofim shall Yisrael lasses Teshuva. In the end of Chumash Dvorim, the Torah says, in the end of days, before the coming of Mashiach, Morris says, we assume any soul in the Golem Ela B'tshuva. But any soul will only have the Gula Asid, will only come if we're going to do Tshuva. So one can raise the question, so what if the Jewish people don't do Tshuva? We have Tchir Chavshes, we may all decide we don't want to do any Tshuva. So the Rambam says, Zod Zachnish, Kra Hestich HaTorah, the Shofim Shal Yisrael Asid Tshuva. Ultimately, the Jews will do Tshuva. The Chapelet, how can the Torah give a promise? The Shofim Shal Yisrael Asid Tshuva, it's against the principle of Tchir Chavshes. That's the Rav Soloveitchik used to say also, based on the same Rambam. All the Jewish neshamas, by Nochi, it doesn't apply. You don't necessarily assume. A Yiddish neshama, we assume, is taught Kol HaTorah Kula by the Malach. He has this Avraham Suter, is taught HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has an inner desire to do Ratzon Hashem. The Nochrim, the Goyish philosophers, developed the whole notion of tabula rasa, when a baby is born, his mind is blank, and his desire to do good is only later, yes, but by the Nochrim. They're correct. By the Nochrim, it's a tabula rasa, but by Yas, it's not a tabula rasa. By Yas, there is such a concept as Avraham Suteris, that Kol Yisrael have this Avraham Suteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when the Bnei Yisrael do Averis, the whole thing is an anomaly. The whole thing is abnormal. It doesn't make any sense. We're fighting against our nature. So the Rambam says, for Hesticha HaTorah, the Torah promises, Shesof Yisrael Lasses Tshuva. How long can a person do shtick? Let's say a person normally walks on his feet. A guy stands on his head. How long can he stand on his head? There's a limit, 5 minutes. Ultimately, he's going to have to go walk on his feet again. He can't do forever. That's what the Rambam says. When Yidin do Averis, it's abnormal. It doesn't fit in. It doesn't make any sense. Every Yid wants to do mitzvah. So since it's abnormal, the Torah promises, in the end of days, it's going to have to. You're going to have to stop standing on your head and do the right thing. That it's not in contradiction to the principle of the Chiruch. We have Chiruch Hafshis, but what's normal for a Jew is not the same as what's normal for another. And Nochri, you don't have any Haftocha like that. So you still have lots of Shuvah, but not the Nochri. That Yerushalayim means the Chiruch Hafshis for all mitzvahs and averis. Exactly. Right. There is the Chiruch Hafshis to choose to do mitzvahs and averis. The Rambam writes in the famous Igeret, in the Tshuva Rambam, that Yerushalayim includes all Chiruch Hafshis and all mitzvahs and others. He says, even on Shidduchim, the Rambam holds that even Zivugim, he says, if I marry a Tzaddikah, so she's going to keep me in line and I'm going to be Yerushalayim and Mitzvah, I'll be Grum. If I marry a Marsha, so she's going to get me to do Averis and to violate Mitzvah Tzaddikah. So the Rambam says, how can you say such a thing that Zivugim am in Hashemayim? What do you mean? Why should Zivugim in Hashemayim? A person has Chiruch Hafshis. The Pasuk says in Echem, he says, Yel Yon Lasekte HaRoes Vatoi. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't make a gzeir on a person that he should do mitzvahs, that he should do Averis. So how can you say the Rebbe Shalom was Goyzim in Hashemayim? I should marry this wonderful Tzaddikah. Marry a Tzaddikah means that the Rebbe Shalom is arranging that I should do mitzvahs. I should fall in and marry the Marshas. I mean, the Rebbe Shalom is Goyzim, I should do Averis. But the Rambam thinks that that's very rare. In rare instances, when a person is such an unusual tzaddik at such a young age, people get married at a young age. If a person is an unusual tzaddik and deserves a big reward, then the Rebbe Shlomo will give him a knack and dik shidduch as a reward. If a person is an unusual rosh at a young age and he deserves a big einish already, so in Hashemayim they'll punish him and they'll give him a miserable shidduch as a punishment. But he says under normal circumstances, the zivugim are not in Hashemayim. That's what the Rambam writes in the Shemayin HaProchim. So Rabbi Yankiv Emden has that printed on the bottom of the page. And the Vilna Shas in the Shemayin HaProchim, Rabbi Yankiv Emden says, the Rambam is wrong, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Zivug Rishon is Arboim Yom Kodim Tiras Havlad, is declared from heaven. So how can the Rambam say that Zivugim are not in Hashemayim? The Gemara says Zivik Sheni. Zivik Sheni is not Nigzar 40 days in advance, but the Zivik Rishon is Nigzar. So the Meiri comments on that Gemara in the first Daf and Soita, he says Zivik Rishon, Zivik Sheni doesn't mean the first marriage as opposed to the second time around. Zivik Rishon means if the children get married, the boy is only 13, the girl is only 11 or 12, that's Zivik Rishon. But if the boy is already 23 and the girl is 19, 21 or something like that, those are Shani Zivik Sheni. So the Meiri says, all of us, the Rama got married later than the Rama got married, I think, in his 30s. So the Rambam says that everybody gets married. By us, there's always Zivik Sheni. We don't have that. By this far, then they still get married at a very, very young age. Those are Zivik Rishon. So when people get married at an older age, he says, that's called Zivik Sheni. So he says, exactly, that's how the Rambam read the Gemara. That by Zivik Sheni, it's not Nigzah Min HaShamai. That's the Bechira Chavshis, the Rambam says. Bechira Chavshis is for all mitzvahs and averis. He says, the Pasuk says, Mitiyel Yom HaSeikse HaRoes Vater. Baruch Shalom is not going around a person to do mitzvahs, to do averis. That we decide what we're going to do. But the Rambam says, still, it's abnormal for a Jew to do an averis. He says, Karhepticha Torah, to show from Shal Yisrael, Asus Tshuva. Ultimately, we're going to have to do Tshuva because it doesn't make sense. We're leading an abnormal, for us, for Eden, it's abnormal to do an averis. That's the Gemara has like that. The, let's say someone is speeding and the policeman stops him and wants to give him a ticket. So he's officer, it's the first time I ever, the first time. The first time, so I'll let you get away. If I ever catch you again, or the ganas. So the judge says, the first time you did, we'll let you get away. Do it again, then we're going to put you in jail. But by the Eden, it says, Mavi Rishon Rishon. He's saying this clearly. It's like, what do you mean, Mavi Rishon Rishon? I did the Aveira 100 times. So I tell the Rabban Shalom, the first time you can't punish me, that doesn't count. Only the first time, so he doesn't punish. Then once he wipes that off, then the second time becomes the first time. So the Rabban Shalom, that was the first time. So he wipes that off. Then the third time becomes the first time. So Mabir Rishon Rishon, till all 100 go away. That's how the Gemara says. So what kind of a game is that? What kind of shtick is that, Mabir Rishon Rishon? Every time. Once he wipes off the first Averis, so then the second becomes the first time. I say, officer, Your Honor, that's the first time I'm doing Averis. The Hajjot. So the Chachmei Hamusar explained that's what it means. By a Yid, the whole thing is abnormal that a Yid doesn't have there. So Taka, the first time is abnormal, the second time is abnormal, the third time is abnormal. Every time is abnormal. So each time is Taka, it's against my nature. It doesn't make sense that a Yid should do Averis. The normal thing is that every Jew has an Abraham Soteris Tota Kodesh Baruch Hu. He wants to do mitzvahs. His true self really wants to do mitzvahs. So that's talking about the Kayach of Mechila Sa'avan of Mavi Rishon Rishon. That's what the Gemara says. That's what it means. Mavi Rishon Rishon. The Baruch Shalom treats each one as if it was the first time. And he lets us get away with it. He doesn't punish us. A little bit. It's not as if you have there, you get used to it because it's easier like that. But still, in his Nekuda HaPanim, within his true personality, he doesn't want the whole thing. Still not to look ahead. Once in a while, you have people who are hardcore criminals. The Takavali Averi Hamur. Like that, the pasuk that Gruria quoted, she said, Yitamach HaTayim, it doesn't say Yitamach HaTayim, it says Yitamach HaTayim. What does it talk about Yitamach HaTayim V'lo Chotim? So usually people mistranslate the pasuk. They mistranslate the Gemara. They say that Beruya said we should see to it that sin should be removed from the world, but not the sinners. We don't want the sinners to be removed. That's not what it means. The Nesidus in the Sefer Nachlas Yankis writes that a chote is a person who does averis. Chato is a person who is so mushrish in averis. He's so rogam and averis that he becomes the physical embodiment of chet. So those people, Taka, we do pray. We pray that the Baruch Shalom should wipe those people out. It's not that when we say Balaam Hashinim, we're following Rav Meir's opinion. No, we assume, like Bruya, we're not following Rav Meir. But there are different kinds of Rishonim. Some Rishonim we call Achote. Some Rishonim we call Chato. Chato means a physical embodiment of chet. Like David HaMelech says, Ani Tefilo. He should have said, Ani Ish Tefilo. No, he says, I need tefillah. I'm a physical embodiment of tefillah. You also, some people are so mushvish and chet that we do pray that they should die. But those people we assume are rare. They're few and far between. On the Mishnah, there's a comment that appears in the Rashi. If a person doesn't believe in Tfiyas HaMeisim, so then the Gemara says his punishment will be neither k'neged neither, since he denies Tfiyas HaMeisim, so he will not be zechet to Tfiyas HaMeisim. But it doesn't say that in Mishnah. It says one who doesn't believe that Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. I mean, Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah is Ein L'Chelek Zerlem Abo. In the commentary that's called Rashi, on the side it says that the Be'er Sheva thinks that this is not from Rashi. This is put in by somebody else. But in the commentary it says, even if the fellow believes in Tchias HaMeisim, he thinks that it's a Masor of Torah Shabbat, but he doesn't believe that if there's any Mokar in Tanakh for that. So the Gemara keeps on saying, Tchias HaMeisim and HaTorah Minai, and so the Gemara says it's in the Torah, it's in the Nedim, it's in the Ksuvim, and then the Tzedukim with Dinyin Zach, that because of the Dinyin Zach, that Pasuk doesn't prove, that Pasuk doesn't prove. The Gemara says, no, it is. There is a Pasuk somewhere or another in Tanakh that seems to say the Pharisee that there will be a Tchias HaMeisim. So in the Pirish that they quote over here, in this Rashi, say if a person believes in an Iker and Amunah, but he doesn't believe that it says it in Tanakh, that's not called Amunah. Amunah Hasty believes in this principle because it says so in Tanakh. So, part of the reason why the Be'er Sheva says that it doesn't belong in Rashi is there's a famous Rashi, the opening Rashi in Chumash. That Rashi quotes the Medrash Amar Rav Yitzchok. Why does the Torah begin from Bereishis Bara Lekim? Should begin from Achodesh Azalachem Rosh Chodoshim, the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Kerach Maisa Higiliyama, Lotus Bohem Nachlus Zoyim, that the reason why the whole Torah writes the story of Bria Shamayim Bo'aret is that this should serve as the document for the Jewish people to see that we are entitled to Eretz Yisrael. The Nochem always complained, Lisim Atem, that we gambit Eretz Yisrael from them. That's the Rav Soloveitchik always used to say when he spoke about that Rashi. That was in yesterday's New York Times. No, Lisim Atem, no? Every day in the newspaper. That was in the United Nations yesterday. They said, listen to them. They keep on saying, listen to them. You're not the Jews and the non-titled territories. So they're stealing it from the Palestinians. Palestine belongs to the Palestinians. Yes. So they always kind of listen to them. So our document says the Torah that they all subscribe to. The Torah says the Baruch Hashem created the world. And the Baruch Hashem is the Baal HaBos. And he has the right to give any part of the world to whomever he wants. Originally, he gave Eretz Yisrael to the Zion Elites. And then he took it away from them and gave it to us. But that's Kerechus. Maizah. Higid Liyamo. He recorded in the Chumash. Briah Shemayim Oret. Lost his Lehem. Nachlus Goyim. In order to give an Eisol Eretz Yisrael. And this is our right to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Rashi writes in the opening comment on Chumash. So the Ramban has a tain against Rashi. What do you mean? The Torah should be given. Machoyrish and Zalachan. You mean the Torah is only a collection of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs this and mitzvahs this. That's it. What about all the Yikorei HaRamunah? That we believe in Briah. Yesh Mayayim. The other Ikari Amunah that appear there, from Bereishis till Achodesh Azalachem. So the Ramban says, the Chumash has to write down the Ikari Amunah. It's important that we should not only know what the principles of Amunah are, they should be recorded in the Chumash. Not just sufficient that you have an oral tradition. So from Rashi, sounds a little bit, the way Rashi quotes Medrash, from Rashi and Chumash down, it's not necessary. If you have an oral tradition, what the Ikari Amunah is also good enough. You only need written in the Chumash, the mitzvah. The mitzvah says and the mitzvah says, you don't really need Yikar Amunah. So here, they put this into the Rashi, even if a person believes, I feel like you hate Moedah Mam, and even if a person subscribes to Kriyas HaMeisim, but he doesn't believe that it says it in Tanakh, so he says that's also, he also deserves the punishment that he shouldn't become the Kriyas HaMeisim, because one who believes in a principle that it doesn't say in Tanakh, Malanu, what value is Amunah? Amunah has to be something that says the principle of Amunah has to stay in Tanakh. Like the Rambam writes such a lotion. The Rambam, when he talks about Bias HaMashiach and Hilchos Malachim, so the Rambam writes, we have a tradition that there's going to be such a thing as Bias HaMashiach, as it says explicitly in several of the Sifrei HaNeviim, and whoever doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach, Loi Rak, the Neviim, Loi Rak, the Levim, Bovad Hukaifer, Ela Benavuas, Moshe Rabbeinu. Whoever doesn't believe in Bias HaMashiach is denying what it says in Chumash also. In Parshas Bolok, and then Vuav Zila Marosha, so he speaks about Bias HaMashiach, the Rakhachim Yankin, and so on. But there are also sounds like he's saying, and a point of Amunah that says in Tanakh, it says in Chumash, does haste Amunah. Ikari Amunah have to appear in Chumash or in Tanakh. But that's the issue with this Rashi. They put into this Rashi, Be'er Sheva claims that it's not from Rashi. Ain't Zemedive Rashi. But that's the question. Is it really so essential that all of the Ikari Amunah should appear in the Tanakh? The Gemara on the day quotes the various sukkim that indicate that we believe in Kriyas HaMeisim, various sukkim, and then the Gemara says that some of the Tanoim were here. The lines from the bottom. Shalom Ramim is Rabbi Shua ben Chanani. Menayim Shakodesh Bochum Bechayim Mason Yodea Mashaot Liyo. How do you know there's such a thing as Chiyas HaMeisim? How do you know that Rabbi Shalom knows in advance everything that people are going to do later? Amaluhu Travayman Amikra Zeh. Both principles, both Ikari and Amunah, are derived from the same person. So the Baruch Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu what's going to happen in the future. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen in the future. And you see also, you're going to die and you're going to be resurrected. You're going to come back to death. So you see both, Chiyas HaMeisim, and that the Baruch Hashem knows in advance. So the Abikursim, the Roman philosophers, answered back, the Dilma Bekom HaMazeh Bezono. How do you know that you read the Pasuk, HaShoech Ma'aseh Bekom? Well, someone tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to die and you're going to come back to life. No, put a semicolon. The Jewish people will get up and worship Avodah Zarah. So all you see from the pasuk is that God can predict the future. But you can't really see there's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim. So he answered back to them, so the Tana, who was it? Shulben Hanani answers back, okay. The code to me of Palga Biodaifa. You were asking me what's the source for both principles of Emunah, but at least you see the one principle that Rabbi Shalom does know in advance. Yes. This is what we assume. The Rambam writes like that. The Rambam in the Sedi Atar, the Rambam quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, HaKol Tofu is a contradiction in Eibay. The Rambam points that. The Bakiva in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, HaKol Tofu. The Rabbi Shalom knows everything in advance. So Harishus Nusuna, but he gives people Bechira Chavshin. So the Rambam says, HaSira. If God knows in advance what's going to happen, so how do you have chiruch avshes to choose to do or not to do? Everybody knows in advance what's going to happen. So the Rambam writes that the Pirush HaMishnayis and Pirkei Avos, he says this was the style of Rabbi Akiva when he gave the rushes. He used to, in order to wake up the audience, the famous matter says Rabbi Akiva was giving a drasha, they were drowsy, they were falling asleep. They made a startling statement that why was Esther Zoycha to be the queen over 127 Medina, because she was a descendant from Sarah, lived 127 years, and then he proceeded a startling statement to wake everybody up. So he says, Rabbi Kiva, that was the style of Jewish. So he made a statement that self-contradicts it. I've called Tafu Iba Harashus Nusuna. The Baruch Shalom knows in advance what's going to happen, and nonetheless, people have Chiru Chavshin, Chavshira. So that's the way Rabbi Kiva presents it. What's Taka the Terrence to this view? So the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah quotes the two halves of Rabbi Kiva, and he says, the Chavshira Menei Yibay. So he says, the answer to this question is very complicated, and we can't really understand it. As the pasuk says, "Kilo machshav aytaim machshav aytechem lo derachai derachechem yom Hashem." We don't really understand. So it sounds like the Rambam is surrendering. He gives up his hands. He says, "I don't know the answer. No one knows the answer. No human being can understand the answer." But the Rabbi shepherds the Rambam. The Rabbi has a hastog on the Rambam. He says over there, "Lo inu al kiminigah chachamim." He didn't do a smart thing over here. You're raising Akasha and Emunah over here. How can you believe that God knows in advance? The Gemara considers that an important point. We believe that God knows in advance what's going to happen, and at the same time believe that people have Chiyuch Chavshes on these contradictions. The Rambam affects Agud Akasha, and he says, we don't know the answer. Well, so Shvayk. So what do you have to write the Akasha for? You don't know the answer, so you shouldn't have mentioned it. But the writer is not happy about the Rambam. So usually what the commentaries explain is that the Rambam gave the teretz. This is not that the Rambam says we surrender, we give up, we don't know the answer. The Rambam meant to say that this is the answer. The answer they usually explain is that the whole kasha of the contradiction between HaKol Tov and Rishus and Sunnah is based on the premise that there's a concept of time. How can God know in advance what I'm going to do later if I have Chiruch Chavshes later? So the answer to the kasha is kilo machshav aytaim machshav aytechem, that time doesn't really exist. Time is part of the bria that God created. That a God HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lamayla min hamakom lamayla min hazman. The whole kasha is on the assumption: how can the Rebbeinu Shlom know in advance what I'm going to do if I have chiruch chavshes later? But in it earlier and later, that's only from my perspective. There's a concept of earlier and later. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Basar Mamaris Nivahoyla, when the Baruch Hu created the world, he said 10 times Vayoyma. Same thing, but it only says 9 times Vayoyma, it doesn't say 10 times. The Gemara says, Bereshis Nami Maimer. So what's the 10th Maimer of the Bria was Bereshis Vayoyma. What did the Baruch Hu create when he said Bereshis? So some of the Mepharshim explain, he created the concept of Zman. Zman is part of the Bria. The Baruch Shalom is l'mayla min ha-teva. He was there before he created Zman. The Baruch Shalom is l'mayla min ha-zman. What does that mean? We don't know what that means. How can we understand what that means? Like the Kuzari writes, Ilya Daiti Ayisit. If I would understand the essence of the Baruch Shalom, I would be the only one who really understands that Baruch Shalom is the himself understands himself. So that's what the standard Mepharshim explained. That's what the Rama meant. He didn't say, we don't know the answer to the Kasha, is that good the Kasha? The answer is no. The whole Kasha is based on the assumption that there's a concept of time, which from our perspective, there is a concept of time. That's part of the dream. The Baruch Shalom created the world with the institution of time and place. But the Rabbanu Shalom was there. He's L'mayla min HaTeva. He was there before he created the world. He's not subject to these two limitations of time and space. That's why we use an expression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is L'mayla min HaMokom and L'mayla min HaZman. We call the Rabbanu Shalom Mokom. So Rashi quotes the Medrash. Hu Mekom Shalom Vein Hol Mekom. Means the Rabbanu Shalom is L'mayla min HaMokom. He's L'mayla min HaZman. So that's the Teretz and the Kasha. We do assume that Rabbanu Shalom knows in advance. That's what all the Tanoim said earlier. It's not just Rabbi Kiva said that. All the Tanoim assumed like that. In this week's Sedra, in Parshat Kisavoy, is a difficult Loshen. Rashi and Chumash point out the difficult Loshen. It's Hashem ha'amarta hayom lios l'chol elokim, Hashem ha'mircha hayom lios lo v'yam segulo. What is the word ha'amarta and ha'mircha? Very difficult word. It doesn't appear anywhere else in Tanakh. So what is the Tirish Amira? So the Gemara in the first parak in Chagiga says, and an expression, also a difficult expression. The Gemara has an expression on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph in Chagiga. Atem asisuni chati v'achaz bo'ilam, v'ani yeta etchem chati v'achaz bo'ilam. What does a chati v'achaz mean? So the Mepharshim on the side of the Gemara, they call the Orachatim, they say chati v'achaz means something unique, different. We declare Hashem Echad. The Gemara says, as the Jewish people say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Alkein Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad doesn't only mean that there's one God as opposed to the Trinity, or one God as opposed to all of the Romans and the Greeks had 100 gods, the God of Mammon, the God of money, and the God of love, and the God of this. That somebody, we believe in one God, but not only one God. Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, we believe that God is unique. That's how the Gemara translates. Hashem Echad, Chati V'Achaz, we believe that nothing else in the world is Zaymet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God is unique. I remember Rav Soloveitchik said that many have expected at the end of the Haggadah not to say Echad Miyodeya. What's wrong with Echad Miyodeya? It's very nice. But he said, because when you say Echad Miyodeya, you're saying Echad Elokeinu, that God is one as opposed to 2, 3, 4, 5, 13. He's saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, that God is one God. We mean something much more than that by the statement Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. But we say that Hashem is Chati V'Achaz Bono, the Baruch Shalom is unique. The Mebet is only one God. If there would be more than one God, it wouldn't be unique. There would be someone else that would also be a God. But the word Hashem Echad means Chati V'Achaz Bo'emam. That's how the Gemara puts together the Tukim. Atem ha'amartem, how to say, as Hashem ha'amartem hayom, we have declared the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by our declaring Ma'isol Hashem Echad. We declare that Hashem is unique. Hashem ha'amircha hayom li'ot lo li'am segula. The Jewish people are unique. There's a Bechirat Yisrael. It could well be that physically and medically the Jewish body is identical with the Goyish body. Can no sign that the body temperature is the same, and the Daigib and Mitzvahs, the Gemara is not sure, it could be the Daigib and Mitzvahs, the concern and nervousness about observing Mitzvahs, maybe it doesn't change the body temperature. And maybe the diet, the fact that religious Jews eat kosher food and the Nochrim eat the Shkatim and Mud, maybe that doesn't change the body temperature. Maybe the body is not the temperature. Maybe the DNA is also Lamala Lamar. That's not the main thing, but the Neshama is a different Neshama. In Shama, Ben Yisrael is totally different. There is absolutely a concept of Bechirat Yisrael, which is unfortunately being washed away today, even by religious Jews. So when we lay the Parashat Kisavoy, we should take this to heart. This is a serious principle of Emunah. But listed among the Yud Gimel Likore Emunah, there are many other principles that are very important, which are not listed among the Yud Gimel Likore Emunah. This is one of them, the Bechirat Yisrael. Is one of the major principles that's emphasized. This is not the only place in Tanakh. Mentioned many times over in Tanakh. This is one of the many places where it's mentioned in Parshas Kisavoy.
I don't know if Chaim Shalevis would say the reason why we have a Shalom Zocha is because the child forgets all his Torah. So he feels bad, so we cheer him up. I heard him say that.
That's what it says in the other day.
So if that's the case,
Shalom Zocha is a Sudas Habroah.
So my girl, she's for all the things.
Also forgets, yeah.
So she also feels bad.
So then she didn't like that talk. He said that they were not to give, not a Sudas Habroah. Not a Sudas Habroah.
Uh-huh.
He told
one of the boys who got married, and Kenny and Brandy got married, and he barely could come to the Hasana, so he was blessed, and they should have children at the Hasana. And he said, if you have a Shalom Zohar, don't serve Nahid. It's not a Shalom Zohar.
According to that thing, what would it be? Maybe he feels this. That's what he has it. So the girl
girls also have the same thing.
Make a Shalom Zohar.
But you see from here, it has to be something physically different. Why should fish and meat be a hezek for a Jew?
In the days of Gemara, they assume there's a hezek for an Ochim. Rambam thinks that the Gemara is there when things are on.
We're not talking about that.
We're going to run through the
so that you have a business card.